If you are just joining us, you are listening to Newsdesk here on TWR UK. If you've missed anything or you'd like to listen to any reports again, you can use our on-demand podcast service. You'll find that for free at www.twr.org.uk/on-demand. Now, I was really encouraged this week when I read reports that children in Mosul are finally returning to school after the eastern parts of the Iraqi city were liberated from ISIS control. In the Telegraph this week, they quoted one seven-year-old boy called Ahmed, who said, "When you are at home all the time, it's like being in prison." This has been the reality for children in Mosul for more than 2 years now. The Islamic State did keep some schools running during its occupation of Mosul. However, most parents shunned those institutions to avoid the extremist ideology that was being taught there. The news outlet NPR interviewed one 10-year-old this week who said he used to enjoy school but that he stopped going when ISIS arrived. He said they showed us how to make a grenade, how to load a machine gun. His mother stopped him from going to school when he told her about the lessons he was being taught. However, she said that removing him from school didn't protect her child from exposure to ISIS. She said they would tell the children, "Come and watch our heroic acts." They would slaughter people in public. The children were terrified. They should be playing, and instead it was blood, blood everywhere. Of course, Iraqi children saw violence even before ISIS, and for many the emotional and psychological scars of such an upbringing will last a lifetime. But after all that's gone on in Iraq, it's encouraging to hear stories of children returning to some semblance of normality. So far in Mosul, 16,000 children have gone back to school, and schools serving a further 40,000 are set to reopen in the coming weeks. This week I spoke to World Vision's Aaron Moore. He talked to me from Iraq and told me what it is like for children going back to school in areas that have been recently liberated from ISIS.
It's been a very difficult couple of years for any of the children who are living in the areas around Mosul and have been living under ISIL-controlled areas. Most of these children that we've spoken to who have lived in these areas have been out of school for 2 years, and those of the children who actually did go to school were not learning any of the classical subjects. So those returning now are going to find several challenges. One of the challenges is that having been out of school for 2 years, they'll try to resume, but if they try to resume in what grades they would be in had they continued, they'll find themselves unable to pass qualification exams. If they try to pick up where they were, they'll have essentially lost 2 years of their educational life, possibly more with the gap. So it's a real challenge for these children. When we add to that the challenges that many of them have seen some very difficult experiences in this conflict, and we see through most conflicts around the world, including this one, the greatest vulnerabilities or the people who most suffer in many of these conflicts are the women and the children. It's very difficult to see where they're looking forward to their future. I think the other thing to remember in this is these children, as they're trying to go back to school, will find that the schools are actually in very poor shape. Many of the areas around Mosul and including in eastern Mosul have been damaged or destroyed themselves, and so the physical infrastructure needs to be rehabilitated, rebuilt. If you drive through some of these villages or towns, it literally looks like somebody took a giant fist and just smashed many of these buildings from various types of explosives or conflict damage. Even those that are remaining have often been used as a temporary shelter for other students or other displaced families to live when their own homes were destroyed. So they're coming back to very poor infrastructure there.
And you talked about the children who have been out of school for sometimes 2 years, but there obviously there were children who remained in school when the schools were under ISIS control. Is that going to be an adjustment for them?
It absolutely will. So we're seeing that most of the girls are not attending school during this time, and most of the boys that I have spoken to have not been attending. Many of them who have said they weren't learning the same things that they should be learning. And to be honest, You know, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time discussing the curriculum that ISIL may have put forward, but I can say that it's not a healthy thing for those children to have been in that that school environment. When we do talk to the children, there are other children who weren't able to play outside for 2 years. You know, especially the girls had to stay just at home all the time and really were expected to not be seen in the community, and that's extremely difficult for them to be able to survive that 2 years of oppression and then turn around and try to step into a healthy place within society. It's extremely difficult. And it also places some severe challenges on the protection of these children, because a lot of the community structures of protection that we expect in our neighborhoods have been damaged or destroyed. The neighbors that you used to know, many of them have left. You have different people you're living with. A lot of the children, over 160,000 total people, have fled Mosul just in the last few months. And they're arriving in camps many times with neighbors they've never met. They're living away from the people they used to trust. So if there is a case where there's abuse, there's neglect, there's psychological immediate needs for counseling, they don't know where to turn for that support. Or if they do know where to turn, those professional support services like counselors, psychologists, and psychiatrists are just absolutely overwhelmed with the scale of the needs. So in that regard, World Vision is working hard to try to provide psychosocial support to the children as much as we can. We do, for example, in the camps for those who have left Mosul areas, we're doing child-friendly spaces. These child-friendly spaces are a little area in each of the camps where these children who have survived these difficult experiences can come. They can play art, they can play games, they can do sports, they can have discussions and counseling. It's fun. The activities range from individual to group. They can range from goofy to serious, but the common thread is they spend a few hours every day feeling safe and feeling welcome. So it helps the children to essentially learn to become kids again, learn to regain that that sense of safety and happiness and laughter that they've lost.
And that is encouraging to hear that there are those spaces where these kids can just be kids again. What do you want the future to look like for the children of Iraq?
That's a great question. The good news is that the children are extremely resilient. So we've seen boys and girls who have suffered greatly, and they carry some great emotional or physical or both scars. But we're seeing them recover. We've seen children who were literally too scared to speak when they first escaped the conflict, and now they're talking again. They're opening up with their families. They are smiling on occasion. They're participating in group activities and games. And that's what we want to see. We want to see the children be able to rebuild their sense of innocence, their sense of hope for the future. We also want to make sure that the families are able to really provide that safe and enabling environment for their children, and also to provide physically and financially for their children, so that the children have a nice home and a healthy way to provide for their needs. Moving forward, we'd really like to see reconciliation and a greater sense of feeling safe in their own communities.
And just to finish, our listeners always like to know how they can pray. So could you just offer us some points for prayer that we can focus on for these families and for the work that World Vision is doing?
Absolutely. So I'd say first and foremost, just pray that God would just bless these children and bless their families, and especially bless the parents that are themselves survivors of this conflict and are trying to rebuild their families in a safer place. Also, pray for the overall conflict and the reconciliation of people who have seen a lot of harm and seen a lot of hate. Pray that God would change hearts and would open hearts to reconciliation and to dialogue with people that may feel that they are unable to even approach or talk to the groups that they see as responsible. And then pray for the individual households right now as they're also in a cold environment and their physical needs are quite urgent. Pray for them. Right now, the areas where we work are mostly blanketed in snow this morning, and it's cold. It's a difficult time to be living without infrastructure services working or living in a camp in a tent. Pray for them that they would have their physical needs met as well.
That was Aaron Moore from World Vision talking to me this week about the children in eastern Mosul who are now returning to school after the liberation of certain parts of the city from ISIS. It's encouraging that these children are now able to get their education again, as we know that's one of the main things that will contribute to their long-term security. It's encouraging too to know that they can go about the daily business of being children with all of the joy that that brings, without the threat of Islamic extremists on their doorstep all the time. Some have not been outside to play for over 2 years, so the image of them running freely in the fresh air without gunfire or violence going on around them is one that brings a smile to my face. Of course, the battle rages on for Western Mosul, and ISIS are not yet ousted completely from Iraq. Even when they are, the future will be uncertain, and it will take years, if not decades, for the country to recover fully from all of the hardship it's been through in recent years. Please keep the people there in your prayers, particularly the children, who are the hope for the future of Iraq.
This podcast is a production of Transworld Radio UK. For more information, go to our website at twr.org.uk.